of Indiana did not let my David Eicholt in so he could cover this tournament for us. That is just not right.
Hey, you know, it's a difficult year for the COVID-19 pandemic, and the NCAA's media criteria has changed, especially this year, only allowing five individuals to go cover a team. So I can tell you I'm not the only one that's disappointed, but I think you got to take into account that I've got to see so much live basketball this year compared to a lot of other people. So, you know, it's a fair trade-off, and I'm still all in on doing my best coverage I can. So it's all good.
All right, let's start with we got so many things to talk about. Let's start with the Big Ten tournament for the men. I thought Iowa played really well. I think C.J. Frederick still not being healthy and able to give more minutes, and Wieskamp coming back, not being able to be himself, and not having Nunji and having Garza be exhausted in that Illinois game. Any of those three things didn't happen, I think they're playing for the championship, and I think they win.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you on that, too. And here's what I'll say, too. I think we saw the first real game that Iowa missed Jack Nunji was against Illinois. Like you said, Garza just had to, you know, almost let Kofi blow by him a time or two, and Iowa was over helping on the screen. And I thought it was a tremendous game plan by Brad Underwood. Just utilize that pick and roll with Kofi and with Io, and it just did so much to help them drive their way to victory. But I will say this, too. Iowa, I thought, just looked tired. I mean, you think about it, they got done with their game. They got back to the hotel probably around midnight because they had to review some tape and whatnot. They had to get up, I believe, at 5:30 a.m. for a COVID test, and then obviously breakfast, and then maybe a morning shoot-around. But then they had to play again at 3:30. So they were running off very little sleep, and I think that was apparent. But like you said, I think C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp are doing their best this week, and I think that this week's going to benefit them, the fact that they've gotten to kind of lounge around, do some shoot around, do some practice, some weightlifting, but to not put that stress on them in games going into the NCAA tournament, I think that that's going to be huge going down the stretch. But I will say this, I think the win against Wisconsin was one of the grittiest wins of the season, especially with the way they won it, because Iowa's three-point shooters were not there, but I think Jordan Bohannon played some of the best defense he's ever played in his career in that final 9.5 minutes. The way they locked down defensively, the way they made shots down the stretch, Joe Wieskamp making the two late buckets against Wisconsin. I mean, that showed me a lot. But again, the legacy of this team is going to be defined here over the next 20 days and what they can do to best utilize the opportunity that's in front of them.
And I agree with that. I think for looking ahead to next year, before we get into the whole tournament, Perkins getting some minutes, you can see what he can do at a high level against high level competition. I think it's there. You have to get it out of him, and they didn't have to get it out of him this year, but it's there. I thought Joe T is getting there, and I think that Fran sees the upside. It'll be a totally different Rand team if Joe T's running the point instead of Jordy Bohannon. I think that's exciting. I think that, once again, you and I have, and a bunch of us are so high on Keegan Murray, it's not even funny. But once again, he showed not only could he guard one of the best players in the country, he made it hard on other people to guard him. I think once you don't have that complete offensive middle presence that you have with Garza, and he gets some open lanes to the hoop, man, I don't know how you defend him.
You know, it's going to be very interesting watching this team next year, because like you mentioned, obviously Jordan and Luke are going on. We'll see what happens with Joe Wieskamp. I'm of the belief that he's going to go, just because I don't know how much more he can increase his draft stock, especially if he has a big March. But you look at next year's team, I mean, you talk about a team that's going to be a lot better defensively, a lot more athletic. Iowa will need to find shooting, but if C.J. Frederick can stay healthy, I've said this to you before, I think, Steen, I think that C.J. can be a top three, top five scorer in the conference, be a potential first team all Big Ten guy next year, and probably be one of the more deadly shooters in the country. And Keegan Murray is going to be an all-around, absolutely great Big Ten basketball player and college basketball player with a potential look and NBA future, in my opinion. But I do think that he'll need to find a way to get some more jump shots to fall. And I think that Iowa's going to need to find shooters next year and in the next couple of years. But I do think Peyton Sanford, the Waukee native that's coming in next year, could potentially help that. He's one of the best shooters in the Midwest, not just in the state of Iowa. So next year's team's going to look a lot different, but I do think, like you said, I think Tony Perkins showing what he can do down the stretch. Remember, Josh Ogundele came in for that final minute. Locked up Kofi Coburn. Great move. And I'll tell you what, it would not surprise me if we saw Ogundele play against Grand Canyon with the size that they have and with the lack of Jack Nungey. If Ogundele can hustle down the floor, grab some rebounds, and not allow any easy baskets, I think that that'd be a great coaching move by Fran.
2 minutes at a time, let him come in a couple of times a half. I totally agree. Okay, I'm going to throw another one out too, because Patrick McCaffrey is going to get 20 more pounds on him. He's ready to go. I love the kid. I love what he does. He is as athletic as Keegan is. Patrick's not far behind in athletic ability. I mean, he has it all. He just needs that, you know, he got what he needed this year. He got some minutes, he got some playing time, and now he can take that over the summer. It's not going to be a COVID summer, so you're going to get practice, you're going to get playing time. I love the kid.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that stands out to me about Patrick is he gets in the lane whenever he wants, and he's not afraid to go over the top of you, try to dunk on you, and has some craftiness about his game that I think he just has a knack for scoring, and I do like how you think guys like Tony Perkins, you think of Keegan Murray, you think of Chris Murray even, and Patrick, they're looking to dunk on you. They're not looking to finesse you. They want to overpower you, and they're not afraid of that. And I think, like you said, if Patrick can gain 10 to 15 more pounds over the next year, I mean, you talk about a kid that's going to take his game to the next level, and if he can continue to develop that outside shot, I mean, again, I think the future is bright with this team, but obviously they are going to need some development. But I do think that Patrick's in the Iowa bench in total is going to play a huge factor into what Iowa can do in this NCAA tournament. But I know we'll talk about this in a minute. It's the West region is super intriguing to me, because I'll tell you what, with Kansas, you know, losing a couple guys, with Oklahoma's second leading scorer now out for the first weekend, and I do think that Iowa, again, has a very good chance to go very far in this thing.
I do too. I totally agree. Let's see. Where do I want to go now? Before we jump into that, let's jump into the thing that you and I both agree on. It's a travesty. You tell me how, and I just read an article in ESPN about the All-American team, and I just read one at CBS, and the only thing that they talked, they didn't talk about the other four. They only talked about one person. It was Paige Beckers, and how great she was, averaging 19 points a game and 7 assists. And I'm like, well, how about 27 points a game and 7 assists and 6 rebounds? It's a travesty. Caitlin Clark is must-watch TV. And my other takeaway from in that championship game, I would not want to play Maryland if I was in the women's championship, because they come at you in waves. They are big. They shoot well. They're quick. They're everything. I couldn't believe how good they were.
I'll say this too, Steen. If Sue Bird is telling you that you're the most exciting player in the NCAA tournament, you're doing something right. That's what she said about Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark leads the nation in assists, leads the nation in points and 3-point field goals overall and per game. The fact that she wasn't a first-team All-American, I think, is a joke. And I'm not going to – by the way, my best wishes to UConn coach Gino Auriemma, who's diagnosed COVID-19. Thankfully, they said he's not experiencing symptoms. But Gino did an interview where he said, "I'm so impressed with Paige Becker. She should be the player of the year, because I've never seen someone take a team so young so far and do what she's done." And I'm thinking – you also have top 10 recruits across the board,
right,
and you have the most storied women's basketball program with the greatest coach of all time in yourself, while Caitlin Clark is working with, you know, I don't want to say lesser talent, because I don't mean it like that, but not as highly regarded national talent. Caitlin Clark is a true freshman, comes in, leads the nation in points, assists, and leads her team to a near conference title in a Power 5 conference, and gets all the way up to a 5 seed. And with the number one offense in the country, or number one and number two offense in the country, I just don't know how you don't throw in Caitlin Clark at least as a first-team All-American. And that's just the name brand of women's college basketball. There needs to be more parity. And, you know, if Caitlin Clark and Lisa Bluter can continue to develop and get talent, maybe that they'll be able to bring some parity to women's college basketball.
And that's what she needs. She just needs, they need to find a running mate. I like the shooters. I like the bigs inside. I like passing. She just needs somebody that can run with her. And but it is. It's folks, it's must-see TV. And I'm telling you right now, Maryland's must-see TV. And I'm going to watch Connecticut because I want to see Paige play, because I know how good she is. I mean, you don't get to be, and you don't have the accolades all the way through. I just think they're the same player. And it just seems weird to me that you know, it's in the Midwest, nobody cares. The Big Ten, they're not as big a conference. So whatever. All right, so let's jump in here. So let's talk a little bit. Grand Canyon. I think this has been my take on Grand Canyon, talking to my Iowa friends. You know what? I think they give them a game for either the whole first half or three quarters of the first half, and then I think Iowa pulls away because I just don't think they have enough. But it'll be a fun – the first 10, 15 minutes should be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I'm in kind of the same boat with them as well. I mean, here's the thing. Grand Canyon's strength is in their big men. And what does Iowa have? They have the National Player of the Year in the big man, Luka Garza. So if they're going up against a team with strength down low, I don't like that matchup for the opposing team. And about Grand Canyon, too, they're the eighth worst three-point shooting team among the teams in the field. And they do play a slower pace. But, I mean, it's a thing where if Iowa jumps out to a 13-2 lead or 13-3 or whatever, over. I mean, the game's almost over as it is.
I agree.
So they don't like to get out and run. They're a fine team. And what Bryce Drew's done there already, it's very impressive. But I have not been blown away by their guard play. And, again, if you're going up with a couple of big men who's their, you know, that's the strength of the team, and their opposition is Luka Garza, I don't like the odds in their favor. And I'll say this. I mean, those guys, as good as they are, they haven't gone up against a Big Ten caliber competition and a big guy like Luka Garza, because I think if Luka Garza can establish position down low early, I think he's going to get both in foul trouble. And if they get rattled, I think that's going to about bury him.
I agree, too. And I think Bryce Drew will get another year to try to do even bigger things. And I think he's going to find a better place. Here's the one thing. If I'm recruiting, though, and I'm recruiting Iowa or I'm recruiting Grand Canyon and their facilities and where it's at, David, you and I both would be going to Grand Canyon.
No, hey, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't deny that either, man. Yeah, that's they do have quite a program out there, and I mean, quite a campus and everything else. I wouldn't blame us at all if we did that.
No. Okay, so then you're probably gonna see Oregon. That's a matchup that they should be favored in, but that's a tough matchup. And Dana Altman's been there a long. You know, he knows how to win in the tournament, but I think Iowa's okay. What's your take on Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon will be, you know, if it's not Oregon, it's VCU. I think either of those teams will be very interesting to me. But the thing is about Oregon, their big men went down in December. They don't have size. Their tallest starter is 6'6". So feed the ball to Luka Garza early and often. That should be a game he should get 38-40. If they double him, if they triple him, he can kick it out for passes. But I'll tell you, Oregon can absolutely shoot the leather off the ball. They are a very dynamic offensive team, and they're athletic. So it would be a very interesting matchup. Like you said, Iowa would be favored. But, I mean, I'll say this. I think Oregon's probably the most underseeded team in this tournament.
And I think
besides Oklahoma State, by the way. Oklahoma State should have been the final two seed.
I give you that, too. Then you're looking – you're going to see how healthy Kansas is. That's going to be a big – and mm-hmm. who they have. I do have Drake beating Wichita State, and I think Drake can give USC. I think it's kind of like, I think they can give them a good first half, and if they surprise USC and USC doesn't play very well, but I still believe that Kansas is going to be the one playing Iowa. Interesting game. I think Iowa's better, and then that just brings that second matchup between Iowa and Gonzaga to go to the Final Four.
Basically, I think we've kind of said this all year. If it's Iowa Gonzaga, I think I told you this months ago, Steen. I like Iowa in the rematch. Iowa put up 88 points despite going 4-22 from three-point range, mostly open, by the way, and a 25% three-point shooter. And Jalen Suggs, who is going to be a legit NBA talent, went 7-10 from three. And I'll say this, Drew Timmy is great of a player as he is. He was afraid of Luka Garza's physicality. The freshman who couldn't really play much defense in that game have grown up. And I'm not about to shy away from a prediction I made months ago, so I'm going to stick by it. I have Iowa going to the Final Four and being Gonzaga to get there.
There you go. And here's – I think all of those the ability to play them twice is a big deal. What they should have done on a bunch of these tournament challenge sheets is they should be putting on here where these teams are playing, because that's a big deal. I mean, if you're playing in an open arena, it's a big deal. Now, granted, Iowa got to do that already, so they understand it a little bit better. But if you're playing in a small venue, I mean, things are so different. I mean, I think that should be on here. So you have Iowa going. Who do you have them playing in the Final Four?
I have them playing Alabama. I think Alabama or Florida State will come out of that region. I think Michigan without Isaiah Livers has zero chance. I think he's the glue that holds that team together. So I have Alabama or I have Florida State coming out of there. I like both those teams. I don't dislike Texas, but I got Bama.
Okay, and if on the other side, who do you have on the other side of the Final Four?
You know, I do say I have Baylor, but if Ohio State gets hot, I really can see them going, but I just didn't like the way they closed down the stretch in any of the, you know, the final Big Ten conference games, including the tournament, nearly gave a couple leads away. I think that's a very weak region. I got Baylor coming out of the top, and then I actually have Oklahoma State coming out. I think Oklahoma State beats Illinois. Cade Cunningham will go for 35+. So my Final Four, I have Iowa, Alabama, Baylor, and Oklahoma State.
There you go. I have I've split Gonzaga, Iowa, but I think that's going to be a great game to watch. I mean, that's the must watch of all of that. I have Alabama as well. I have Houston maybe trying to beat Illinois to get there, but I agree with you, Oklahoma State. My worry with Oklahoma State isn't that game against Illinois. It's Oklahoma State losing a game they shouldn't lose, like to a Tennessee or something. Cade Cunningham being a freshman, maybe not having a good game, and them not being able to overcome that. I do agree with Baylor, though. So who do you have in the final game, and who do you have winning?
You know, in the final game right now, the subject of change, I probably will change my mind in 24 hours. Just preface, I got Bama and I got Baylor and I got Baylor winning it all.
Well, we have the same pick there with Bama, Baylor, and Baylor winning it all. David, as always, we'll try to pick up next week and talk a little bit more after the first few games. Love
having
you on. Thanks, buddy. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a safe drive home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. The website is 1700thechamp.com. You can listen to the program live or download a podcast. If you're looking to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, use the app BetMGM, download it, deposit some money, use their win $100, use 100 Steen, and use your $100 bet. If you lose, they'll put $100 back in. All kinds of parlays. It's a lot of fun. If you want to do sports betting, download the app BetMGM and get started. I also want to thank Northwest Bank for coming on and being a sponsor of the show. They have two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines, member FDIC. Once again, we're going to jump right in here. It's been a short week, and then we have a tournament on for Thursday, Friday, and Monday. It's great to have B Styles come in here. He is at the B Styles. B, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and I got to say that was an appropriate song there that you had in the background just to describe how I'm what I think might need to happen over at Hallis Hall.
There you go. And I get it. And I was thinking when I was dialing your number, I'm like, okay, we could put B, myself, and Jeremy in football uniforms and say we're the Chicago Bears quarterbacks. And I don't know if anybody would notice until we threw the ball. But that is a Mike Glennon, Nick Foles, and Andy Dalton, buddy. Wow.
You know what? I saw the offer they made to Russell Wilson, and initially that they made for him to Seattle. And my first thought was clearly that wasn't enough. But the bigger thing here, if you're willing to make, if that offer is true, then you need to be on the phone with Houston right now, making the same offer for Deshaun Watson, because you have a much better chance of getting him since he clearly wants out of there. So therefore, you're going to have some leverage on them that you might not have had with the Seahawks of trying to lure Russell Wilson away from Seattle. And what them signing Andy Dalton yesterday did, it told me two things. One, that this team's pretty much set with mediocrity, at least as far as this upcoming season's concerned. But the second thing is, unless they make a play for a guy like Deshaun Watson, this tells me that they're going to draft a quarterback. And Ryan Pace, we know what he did last time he had the opportunity to do this, and he traded up to do it. So it just, it makes me wonder now for the next 6 weeks leading up to the draft, okay, is this something where I have to worry about them trading up again for a quarterback that doesn't pan out?
Yeah, and you know, as ownership, I would have a hard time. I get, as an owner, I get if you get Russell Wilson or you get Deshaun Watson. If I'm an owner and I have Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I'm not letting you do this again. We have needs. You said that you can win games with this if we get something else. I just have a hard time believing. But then again, it's Chicago's ownership, so who knows?
Right, and that's just it. I think to me, this goes beyond just Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. This is the McCaskey family and Ted Phillips as well. I mean, until there's some sort of straightening out there, like, if Andy Dalton's your quarterback week one, then it better be because there's a rookie that you drafted that's a backup. But even then, if that's the case, you're basically replaying 2017 all over again. And then at the end of the season, they're going to be like, well, okay, you got to give Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy another year because, yeah, they had a losing record, but they're trying to start fresh and they're trying to get a new guy group. And it's just like that. You can't have that while also having a quote-unquote win-now mentality where you're trying to get a guy like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and it's – it was a lot, and it depended on who the two players were. I don't even want to guess.
My guess is they were both defense.
I think the same, too, which I don't know, and I don't know what to think. I'm going to ask you about Steve Prohm in Ames, and here's the reason why. Because you haven't had in who you cheer for, and I saw this today, and it just amazed me. Since the year 2000, the Iowa Hawkeyes in their major sports have hired four coaches since 2000. Yep. Lisa Bluter, Tom Brands, Frank Licklider, and Fran McCaffrey.
Or Tom Licklider, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And see, that's how quickly I wasn't even going to mention him, but I had to.
Right.
And, you know, Iowa State hasn't hired, they've hired more coaches than that. But when you're looking at when you have a coach, and I don't think anyone disliked Frank Licklider the man, they just didn't like his coaching style. Just like I don't think anyone disliked. I bet you can't find someone that if they've met Steve Prohm didn't like him. But once again, it's just a coaching style that had run its course because. Yeah, if you have that kind of coaching style, you have to have a system, and it just didn't look like he had a system. It didn't look right. Like anybody knew what they were doing. So the difficult thing is that, you know, it's since they hired Greg McDermott and it didn't work, it's hard to take a Darren DeVries. It's hard to take a Porter Moser. Uh-huh. It's hard to take somebody like that because the fans don't want, you know, it didn't work the first time. How do you think it's going to work the second time? And I'm a TJ fan. I don't know how big of a TJ. I mean, I like what he did. I wish he would have done better at UNLV, and it probably would have meant more. But I don't think that matters because everybody remembers UNLV from way back, and it's not the same.
Yeah.
So I know. I just wanted your. I mean, I think it was time for Steve to go, and I think it's good to get new blood. But boy, it's hard in this environment to bring in a new coach.
Well, yeah, but I would say this, you know. I don't really know Steve Prohm all that well, but I would just say that from what I saw, it's a results-oriented business. And you can have the nicest coach in the world, but if you go 0-4 in the Big 12, I don't know how you're supposed to keep your job.
So I
understand why Iowa State made the move that they did. As far as TJ, I think what helps him and what helps Iowa State in this regard is he's familiar already with the territory. He knows how to win there.
Right.
Because he's been there with Fred. So I think that it's something where, okay, maybe it takes some transfers coming in like they had before Hoiberg. I don't know if it has to be to that extreme like it was under Fred, but if you could get a couple guys to come in, it could be a quick fix. But I think the bigger issue for Iowa State right now is the Big 12 is a tough conference.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that too.
And unless you have, like, let's say Indiana is able to lure a Scott Drew or a Chris Beard away, you're still going to have, in addition to Kansas every year, you're going to have to deal with Baylor. You're going to have to deal with Texas Tech. You had to deal with Texas, and Shaka Smart finally got a nice season down there with being able to win the Big 12 tournament this past weekend.
And you got Oklahoma.
Schools.
Oklahoma, yeah.
there's West Virginia.
There's no easy ones yeah. there. I agree with
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And it'll be interesting, and you know, it happens, and that's okay. And you know, I was just talking, I had David Eichold on just a second ago, and, mm-hmm. and I was talking to him about the weekend. Once again, we have Brendan Stiles on. He is at the B Stiles. Talking that the Illinois game, Garza, yeah. that's where you, that was the first time that I said to myself, okay, that's where Jack Nungy gives him 3 minutes here, 2 minutes here,
yep.
3 minutes here, 2 minutes there. There's no way that you can have Keegan try to guard either one of those centers that came in for, or the, you know, Cookburn or the other guy. He would struggle with that. And Garza was tired. Now they don't have to worry about that. And I think, and we'll get to our brackets here in just a second. I think if they get into a rematch game with Gonzaga, they have a good chance of winning.
I have pause on that particular point, that last point regarding Gonzaga. But I will say this. I think the way the bracket's set up, I would expect Iowa to win Saturday against Grand Canyon. If they play Oregon, that worries me just a little bit, just because I know what Dana Altman's been doing there ever since he got to Eugene. It seems like they've been winning the Pac-12 year after year. And I feel like they might be a little underseeded for a 7 seed. So that's a game that Iowa should be favored and should probably win, but I don't see that being, you know, a cakewalk like Saturday might be. And then, you know, you get to the Sweet 16, a lot of it might depend on the matchup there. Is it going to be a team like a USC with Evan Mobley, or is it going to end up being Kansas if they're able to make it through this first weekend without the guys that they're going to be missing? And at that point, then you got to worry about them being at full strength come the Sweet 16. So there's that. I think what might be Iowa's best shot at the Final Four, honestly, is if Gonzaga were to somehow lose to Virginia in the Sweet 16. Because Virginia, like, they have a slow-down style of play that it could maybe work for one game like that, but when you go up against two teams in a row that play a style like that, I think Iowa might be able to get an upper hand on them if they played them in the Elite Eight as opposed to playing the Zags.
Right. And the other thing that I thought through this whole weekend is Joe Wieskamp and C.J. Frederick still aren't healthy. Now, getting some time off, getting, you know, you can get some PT, get some physical therapy, get better. That matters for them, that those guys can play big minutes. And against Illinois, C.J. definitely could not. And Joe was on the offensive end, he was okay. He just couldn't hang on the defensive end at times.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So let's kind of go through your bracket here. We got about 5 minutes left.
Sure.
Let's hop down. Let's just hop to your Final Four teams. Who do you have in the Final Four?
I have Gonzaga, Baylor, which there was a point there I was contemplating maybe picking Purdue against them in the Sweet 16, but I ultimately went with Baylor there.
That's a Illinois. Great game, by the way. It's a great. Yeah. I can't wait to see that game if it happens.
I'll say this: I think Illinois' toughest roadblock, if you will, the Final Four is going to be the second round against Loyola.
I do too.
I could see that being a game where they only win by like two or three possessions, and then whoever they play in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, they win both of those by double figures. And then the fourth region, I had a little trouble with this because initially when I was going through it in my head, I had Florida State, but then I was like. But part of that was predicated on Alabama against Connecticut. And originally I had UConn pulling an upset there. But then I thought a little bit more about it. I was like, nah, you know what? I think I like Alabama in this spot. And then when I went and kind of redid it in my head, I ultimately had Alabama coming out of that region. So they would be my one, like, non-one seed to make it. And then I think the title game is going to be Gonzaga and Illinois. And I have Gonzaga winning it all.
And here's the crazy thing. I think that in the East bracket, the Michigan-Florida State game, even though Michigan's down a player, and I get that, that's going to be a good game. I think Texas-Alabama's a good game. And then I think yep. Alabama-Florida State is a great game.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I would love – I have Gonzaga and Baylor. I just thought maybe Baylor's height could maybe affect Illinois.
It did when they played.
Yeah, I know it. And but I also I have a Houston is going to scare people too, but I don't think they're deep enough to win that many games in a row. But it's right. interesting. So you have the Zags winning. I mean, it's tough. You know, when you're looking, play defense, rebound the ball, don't make turnovers, and have good shooters. They have that, you know. But right. the great thing is, so does Iowa. Iowa has that same thing.
Well, the thing, too, with Gonzaga, I watched their game against BYU. BYU basically had the formula down, but a big part of that was absolutely shooting out of their mind in the first half, and it became something where once, you know, water kind of found its level, if you will, Gonzaga was able to get a few stops, and then they kept humming along. And I think there's going to be teams that could play them close, but it's got to be – you got to play almost a near-perfect game against them. And it just seems like, you know, looking at every single metric that you see regarding college basketball, it seems like Gonzaga is at the very top of just about every single one this year. And then throw in the fact that they're undefeated, and then you throw in that quote-unquote eye test. And to me, I just have a hard time seeing anybody else winning it.
And I'm with you. That's and well coached, been there before. All those things when you're trying to win games in a short amount of time, all those things right. matter.
And don't forget this too. Let's say it is chalk in Iowa's region, and you have Gonzaga, Virginia, Iowa, and Kansas. Assuming Kansas and Virginia could survive this week with their COVID issues, Gonzaga played all three of them in non-conference and beat all three of them by double digits. So, like, no matter what, they're going to be dealing with a couple of rematches in that scenario.
Yeah, and that it's just going to be fun. I think this is
right.
not having the tournament last year, I think, makes this year's tournament even that more
absolutely.
Important. And it's going to be must-see tea for everybody, and I think that'll be fun. Hey, okay, go ahead. No, go.
I was just going to say, I'll give you an upset here because you mentioned Michigan.
Yep.
I could see Michigan losing to St. Bonaventure.
You're not the only person.
Them or LSU, whoever wins that game in the first round, because Isaiah Livers, initially I had Michigan getting through there because I thought, okay, maybe Livers might be back, but if he's not, that's a dangerous spot.
Yeah, it's tough with not having that point scorer there. We got about 20 seconds. I know you watch NBA. I listened on the way to the studio today. Shaq going against Candace Parker. Shaq needs to be quiet. He's getting killed by Candace Parker on TNT.
Yeah.
That's not.
That's something he's gonna lose.
Yeah, he's gonna lose. All right, buddy. Enjoy. We got Tuesday, Wednesday next week. I will get you in, and we'll talk about the games over the weekend.
All right, sounds great. Okay. Thanks for having me on. All right.
Thanks, B.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Last segment today. Hope everybody's having a good drive home or made it home safely. Pretty dreary day out there, but it's going to get better. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I want to thank Andrew Steenblock, John Schaefer, Mason Heckman, David Eichholt, B. Styles, and finishing up with Mr. Zach Steenblock talking about sports with his dad. I can't ask for a better thing. Remember, tomorrow is the first four games. Friday's the first round. Monday is the second round game, so I will be off. Thursday, Friday, Monday, we'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and then after Wednesday, we'll give you a schedule update of when I will be back. Whew. Steen, how you doing? Little Steen, big Steen, medium Steen. I don't know what to call you. I think it's
normal Steen. Normal I think I was Steen. The first one that started go by that name.
I'm the radio Steen. You're the normal Steen. Okay, I'm with you. Okay.
I'm with the usual.
This time of year, your favorite time of year with the NCAA, or do you like when a great golf tournament's on?
Oh, well, that's hard. I think my favorite time of year is probably it's going to be the fall, right? I just love football. But, I mean, this is a close second, right? I mean, we have March Madness. We get the Masters. We get NBA playoffs. We get the start of baseball. I mean, a lot of sports are going on right now. Hockey, soccer.
It's exciting, and it's, you know, there's this stuff. It's happening. there's this stuff happening all over the place. I wanted to get your the Miami Heat trying to find some offense somewhere, traded for Trevor Ariza today. I think that's a good pickup by the Heat. They need some.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler needs some help.
Right, and I saw a tweet that I think Trevor Ariza has been to like 15 different teams and like a couple teams twice, and maybe they're just trying to get rid of Myers Leonard. I don't know. It doesn't seem like Oklahoma City's even going to sign him.
No.
So that's tough. That just shows just how much, you know, you say one thing and it was a mistake and then your career's over.
Yep.
Okay, it's not, but you never know.
Yep, and I think you can recover, but you better have a track record in order to be able to do that. And that's the Oklahoma Thunder. I think over the next 4 years, they have 22 first-round draft picks. That's crazy.
Yeah, they have a lot. I think I can't remember the tweet, but yeah, that sounds right. I think the next 7 years they have a bunch of picks or swaps. So, I mean, it's not a big market. No one wants to go to Oklahoma City and free agency, so they're going to have to rely on their draft picks, really.
Okay, a couple things that I asked your brother Andrew today, I want to get your opinion on too. Taylor Horton Tucker, do you think his long-term career is going to be with the Lakers, or are they going to use him as a piece to get something else and he'll be playing somewhere else?
I think it really depends if they want to keep him there and keep developing him, if they think he's a good talent. But that also goes the other way too. If he's a good talent, then, you know, why not get a veteran for him, right, and have another team build with him? I think it's probably too early to tell, but it's just going to whatever the Lakers want to do, right? If he's more valuable on the team, they'll keep him. If he's more valuable to trade to another team, we'll do that. The Lakers have been pretty good at making those trades, as you can tell, right? The Anthony Davis trade worked pretty in their favor. So
absolutely. One of the fun things, so today I had two Bears fans on, had Andrew on, had B-Styles on, and the one thing I didn't have time to get to either one of them with is, and this is a crazy stat, the Bears have never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards or 30 touchdowns. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. But, you know, the Bears have always established the run.
No, they have.
And, you know, that's kind of their bread and butter. And they have a good running back in Dave Montgomery. But I think the Andy Dalton pickup is horrible, just horrifying.
I know.
And if they're going to give up so much for Russell Wilson, why didn't they try to do that with the Texans? You know, I don't understand it. They went from Mitch Trubisky to an even worse and older Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense, and I feel bad for Bears fans. I told Vanny to listen in today because I wanted to bring that up. Not sure if he's listening. If you are, shout out to you, and the Bears are going to be in a tough spot the next couple of years.
See, and that's what B-Styles said, and I agree with him. As soon as Seattle turned you down, now I'm hammering the Texans. I'm calling them. I'm calling them once an hour. That's all I'm doing, because I'm telling you right now that you bring in Andy Dalton, Ryan Pace, and Matt Nagy, might as well just walk up to management right now and say, hey, bring two other people in and see what they can do, because we're done. Because they're done.
It doesn't make any sense. I literally don't get it. Maybe, like, why not even just try to trade for a draft pick and get one of the new guys that's going to come in the draft? You know, it doesn't make sense. Maybe they're just going to tank for next year with them. But, I mean, Andy Dalton was good. I mean, he never won a playoff game in Cincinnati. And you could tell last year he was kind of – he had streaks. He was, you know, playing better. And then he just do something horrible. And I don't understand the move at all.
I didn't bring this one up either because I felt bad. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Andy Dalton. You're in trouble. I mean, that's not good.
No. It's tough, right? And, you know, Chicago, you know, the Bears are such a cool team, historic team, and you just hate to see it with all the, you know, the fan base. So
I agree. Okay, Jamie Pollard called Zach Steinblock up. Zach, give me your opinion. Who should I hire? Zach Steinblock would say,
well, I thought about T.J. Olsenberger or Olsenberg.
Oz.
But
I just call him Oz. It's easier.
Oz, yeah. The more I thought about it, I'm not sure if I want him. You know, I'd rather have an assistant, like Baylor's assistant. I was talking to my friends, and he made that point. I'm like, that'd be pretty sweet. Maybe I really don't want them to, you know, if a mid-major team goes on a run and they want to get a mid-major coach that played really well in the tournament. I don't want that to happen. But I think TJ is a safe bet. That was his home for a while. I know that Iowa State was thinking about him when they hired Prohm and they wanted to get some coaching experience. But I don't know. Is he a guy to get excited about? I'm not too sure. Is he a safe bet? Yes. So we'll have to see.
I just want him to have a system. That's all. We got to have something.
I want Rick Pitino. That's who I want.
That's not happening either. And it's a difficult time too, because you have not only did you have to buy out the rest of Coach Prohm, but you have to, no matter who you hire, you're going to have to buy them out too. So none of those things are easy during COVID time.
And I think that I don't think Prohm's is that big, because I think he was up next year. So hopefully that helps us a little bit.
Yeah, it was still almost 10. 10 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hate to say that I was glad he was fired. You know, he was at Iowa State for 6 years. He was there for when I was in college. And I was at the Big 12 tournament when they won it 2 years ago, and it was awesome. Saw him there, said what's up. You know, he was good to Iowa State, but, you know, you have to move on after a certain point in time. And
Going 0-for.
You can't win zero games in the Big 12 in one of the most competitive leagues. And, you know, Iowa State has had, you know, the basketball name for a long, long time. And this is not where you want to be.
Right. And you can't go 0-for, and you can't have the 0-for include hardly any close games. I mean, that's what hurts. I mean, you were getting beat by over 10 in the majority of those. So difficult. All right. So let's jump to your Final Four. Who do you have in your Final Four?
Well, that's a tough one. I think I've made three brackets. I have Gonzaga winning in two of them, and I have Illinois winning in one of them. I think I have Arkansas. Let me think here. Arkansas, Gonzaga, and Illinois, and
gotta have
Michigan in one of them.
Yeah. Michigan's tough though, because you're losing one of, I mean, that's you can't make up 16 points a game. That's tough.
Right. And you know, I'm not too sure about Baylor. You know, they came off COVID and they were looking a little rusty, and you know, they've been playing great basketball, and you know, it's a short season, so I'm not too sure who, you know, is gonna come out of it. I think it could be a heavy number one seeded Final Four. I think if Gonzaga doesn't win this year, they're going to become just like, this is the team we think is good every single year, and they're obviously not that good. You know, they play in a conference that's not the Power Five, and they're going to be called frauds forever if they don't at least make it to the Final Four this year.
Yeah, and that's tough for them because, once again, teams don't want to play them, and teams don't want to home and home them. And you know, it's hard to get people to want to step up and do that. I liked Alabama. I have in my one, I have Alabama and Baylor with Baylor winning, and then on my other one, I have Gonzaga Baylor with Gonzaga winning. So,
I have Alabama in one of mine too.
I would have taken Michigan if they were full, but not being full hurts. So, all right.
Yeah, and I think Illinois is going to make a good run. And I also think that Kansas can be really sneaky. They didn't get to show off their talent in the Big 12 tournament.